It's Terry from No Crumbs Left, and I'm sitting across from Bobby Anderson, my former next-door neighbor, and friend of Christina Kleinpeter, who was on recently, and we were talking about you. Welcome.
Thank you. It's exciting to be here. Mostly just, Terry, I will say, because it's been so fun to see you develop all of this, all of it grow. And I feel like one of the things I love specifically about your podcast is it's really who you are. It's the same as you are in your regular life. So I thought I would be incredibly nervous. And I'll say it's just like sitting down to chat with you. It's so fun.
One thing I want to say is that why it is so much like a conversation is that in a lot of podcasts, and it's not a criticism of other ones, is that it's not necessarily face-to-face. I do podcasts where people are across the country, and that's a lot of fun. But what I like about the podcast is it's a conversation, you know. And for me, it's really generally somebody who I have a heart connection with, you know, because we're kind of talking about the same things all the time. It's like life, motherhood, love, loss, birth, death, divorce, you know, and everything in between. And happy marriages in your case, which, you know, we encourage. So let's just talk a little bit about how we knew each other and when you lived next door and that kind of thing.
So we moved next door to you right as I was expecting my first child. And at the time, we had gone from sharing walls in a condo to having our own small little house with a tiny little yard, and we didn't share walls anymore. And we loved our neighbors. And I really, I can be a very logical person. So I thought, do we just like these people so much because we don't share walls with them? Is it easier to like people you don't share walls with? And reflecting back on that, it was really just we landed in a really great spot in Chicago, a really cohesive block. And even people who were at a different season in their life were so welcoming and generous, you especially, and connecting us to different people in the community. And some of those who we've had long, long, wonderful relationships with, you introduced me to two of my most amazing babysitters who came from other segments of your life. Yes. And, you know, more than 10 years later, we're still really connected to these women. So you've always been a connector. You extended that grace to us. And it was amazing to be your neighbor for a while.
One of the things that I have always loved is this idea of course, connecting people. But it's like I've always feel like I have sort of like a free agency for people looking for jobs. So people come to me, you know, if they're looking for someone, or someone will come to me and say, I'm looking for a nanny job. And there's nothing more that I love than spreading news about, you know, wonderful women. And I do think that's one of the things that connects us, is that what I see about you is that you are always supporting other women, promoting other women. You have that thing. I mean, not everybody has that, where everybody isn't somebody you're kind of jealous of, you know, if their life is slightly better. What do you think that is? You know, tell me, how do you think you came to that? But that's something I see you doing very organically in your life. And it's, you might not even know I know this about you, but I see you're just always like uplifting others.
It's funny because that's something that I did for years without noticing it. And then later on, when I thought about who are these people who I'm so close to in varying degrees, but the people that are really impactful in my life, and there's a common thread, and they're all idea people. They all like to think about new things and do new things, but they're also not competitive. So whether it's on a work front or a professional front or as a parent, that competitiveness is not there. And there's just this desire to support each other, to give each other the benefit of the doubt, and to cheer each other on. And also, when things aren't great, be honest about that and support each other. And that's an amazing thing. It's something that I, as I was looking back at my eclectic group of friends and these women that spanned many different ages and generations, some women who had young kids and mine were older, or some who didn't have kids, some working moms, some stay-at-home moms, some people who didn't have or had grown kids. And the common thread was really just this type of energy that we're all in this together and we want to support each other. And I put you in that group as well. And even though you were at a different season and we didn't spend a tremendous amount of time together, the time we did was really meaningful to me and shaped a lot of sort of how I crafted some of our family life.
One of the things that I love about you is that, you know, in the time I've known you, you've been a partner at a law firm, and I see that you are a woman that goes all in and gives 100%. But you also have this really soft voice, which I really like. And I don't know that everybody in your industry always has that. And I know you can be tough and you can be hard, but I love your heart. And I just always, you know, just like the way you are, can be 100% doing work, and then you can you know, close that down and really be such a present mother. I was just the way that you love your kids, speak to them. And, you know, you, when you live next door to people, even if you're not sharing walls, you're sharing yards, you know, you get to accurately see who they are. So always, even just from afar, and, you know, I'm practically going to tear up because I'm one of those people, just to see you with your kids and sort of the intentional way you parent and that you love your kids is, it's a big love. So it's, you know, kudos to you. And I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it.
Well, one thing to say back to that is just, I honestly want to thank you, Terry. That was something that I've really thought a lot about over the years. And I'm surprised you brought that up because I was thinking at the time it was such a small interaction, but I can remember it really clearly. When I became a mother, I had spent 10 years building this career and really putting almost all of my energy to creating this professional life that I was really proud of, I really loved, I was excited about. And all that went with that was this very distinct style and fitting in and conforming there. And I can remember one day you said to me, just as it was a busy season in your life and you were always coming and going, your kids were teenagers and you had a lot going on, you just stopped for a minute and on your stairs and said, you know, I really notice how you mother and I really respect it. And you have this gentleness about you. And I think there's such a power in this gentleness. And I respect that. I've just been thinking about that a lot lately. And you moved on, and I could recite the conversation verbatim because it meant so much to me. And it really was this moment for me where I just sort of accepted who I was. Mm-hmm. And I had spent all of this time crafting this professional identity that was, you know, not going to give up any space for, I certainly help other women and all of that. But when you're negotiating a big deal and it's a room full of men, there's, gentleness is not really something, but it's that's welcome there. But it is something that is very much part of my personality. And I sort of reversed that in my thinking and said, well, that's already who I am. And maybe there is power there. And I started not rejecting that part of my personality and making space for it. And I see how my kids have developed with that and mm-hmm. the compassionate people they are. And I'm so proud of that about them. I hope they continue and lean into that. But I really put that back to this moment that I can't believe you remember and are bringing up after all of these years. But it was really meaningful and a meaningful shift to me.
And to me, it wasn't so much that I remember that moment, but I remember observing that part of you. And I feel like you are that kind of person that calls the people around them to be their very, very best. Because you are, because you want that in others, and because you give that so selflessly to others and to your kids. And the truth is, it's a gift to people, you know, to do that. So who knew, you know? So let's just talk for a minute about, I love this story. I love the story of the table. Let's talk about when you had your party, which is really one of our ways we really got connected, because it was like you were going to have this party. And then I am like all in because I want you to succeed and have like the most amazing party.
So again,
I don't even know if you remember.
I remember this very clearly. So one of those things, again, that I love about this is who you were then is also who, at a very fundamental level, who you are now. And I was having this big work party. The convention up to that point had been to go out to some fancy restaurant and have people over. And I'm like to think of myself as a forward thinker. And I was like, won't it be so much more meaningful to have these people to our house? And then I thought, what have I done here? I'm inviting people over for a fancy dinner. And I had the food taken care of. There had been this wonderful woman who cooked for us for years and years and years and was this chef and amazing, and she was going to do the food. So I knew it would be fine. But I realized I didn't really know what to do with all of these other people. And you had entertained next door for us for years, and we had sort of observed all of that and admired that. And it just – there was always such a specialness about it. And so – I had mentioned to you that I was going to copy some of your ideas. We were going to have it in the yard, and you just offered so much advice and actual. You offered table linens. Lucy came over and did all the tables and designed them and made them look beautiful. You told me where to buy the flowers. You really just talked me through that, and that was really all that I needed. It was that first one and that nudge to that, and since then, we've gone on and we love to entertain, and sometimes it's very, very casual. And the table's not set. And other times, there's a beautiful table set up in the yard and this really special time that's created. And it really, I think, came from just the confidence of doing that first one with the help of what it felt like everybody in your house.
Well, it definitely was everybody in the house. And, you know, what I have always loved is, you know, how I got to this moment is I love to cook. I love to entertain. I hardly entertain anymore, but I love to entertain. And, you know, in the summer, Roy and I would always somehow get that kitchen table, which is heavy, as you can imagine, this giant wooden table. We would get it outside. We would bring all the chairs out, and we would have different chairs. Like, I kind of collect some chairs from garage sales and things, and I bubble wrap them and keep them in my garage so that when there is that moment, you can unwrap everything. So there would be, like, a couple from Anthropology with, like, flowers on them and then some wood ones and a couple wicker ones, and to bring everything out in the yard and then have, you know, the cloth napkins and the cube vases with beautiful flowers, all kind of the same color, like tones of pink or red or whatever. And, you know, there is a magic in having a summer party outside and just feeling like it's this truly decadent moment, and you invite people and you've got something lovely to drink and something lovely to eat. There is a magic that happens, you know, and I think with entertaining, there is a magic that happens. You know, people are transformed. And when you cook with love, I mean, people taste the difference. Or if you entertain with love, or you bring that heart to it, you know.
Or if you order takeout with love.
Absolutely.
I really do think people can tell. But honestly, on the entertaining, it really is. It creates a special environment for it. There's a conversation we have at our house every single time that I insist on doing this, which is at least once a summer. And I copy the whole thing from you. We take a table outdoors and bring indoor chairs out and do the flowers and exactly the way you described it. And at one point before the evening, James always, my husband always says, "Why are we doing this? We could just eat on the deck." And I always tell him, "Don't worry about it. He'll tell me later how great it was and what a great idea it was." And then generally either late that night as we're cleaning up or the next morning, he does go ahead and admit that I was right and it was really great. But we do the same thing over and over, have the same conversation, the whole thing.
It's a lot of work. I mean, right now, Roy and I are talking about Thanksgiving because normally I do my giant Thanksgiving. Lucy is working on a film, so she's not going to be able to come. Patrick is vegan, and it's like the anti-holiday for him. And then I'm like, am I going to do this giant Thanksgiving really for my whole family, and my own children aren't going to be here? And I'm saying to Roy, we could do it. And I practically have to avoid people in my family because I haven't decided yet. Or we could get on a plane and we could go to the ranch and we could make a lovely little Thanksgiving for two and really, you know, do it up. So, but there is, you know, all of that and bringing it together. I mean, one of the things I liked in the neighborhood was that, and I'm in a different season really than all of these lovely neighbors. Melissa, who's been on the podcast, and Kate Fulling, you know, our gluten-free friend who lives nearby. But you guys opened up your fences. I mean, how did you do it? Were there three neighbors that had, like, doors to the fences?
So the most longstanding neighbors with the oldest kids came to this idea and said, let's open up these yards. Let's open up these fences and create a common space. And at the time, again, we were working a lot. We had young kids. We had a dog. And my initial thought was, don't they just run around front and go through the house? Or don't we see a lot of these? I mean, they're great. Don't we see a lot of these people? But they had a lot of conviction. And so we did it. And it was a really great lesson for me. When you remove small barriers, you create bigger connections. And we're connected to those four families in a way that we would not have been if we didn't create that communal space in the backyard. And it sort of extends to all of the friends that they had over. And
yes.
And it really was this magical situation for our kids to grow up in. And when we moved, that was really something we had to reconcile to, that we were losing that community.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good block for sure. And I just, the parties that are, you know, with the younger families that are out there and, you know, the hanging out and the block party and things like that, it is, you know, like I'm in a different season, but it's really fun for me to see and observe. And it's been fun because people on the block, as all this has happened for me, it's like I'm the woman that lives over there and I like to cook and I make good food and all of that. But to sort of, I mean, the block has come along with me, like been excited for, showed up for, you know, been on board for, been just championed me in a really, you know, wonderful way. So anyways, I've loved it. So I want to talk a little bit about our moms, because that is something that so deeply connects us. My mom's gonna be gone 20 years. I can't, you know, love her, think of her every day. And she's, you know, so much a part of my everyday life that I don't know if you know, but in the in my No Crumbs Left pottery line, I've named a piece after my mother and after my father. So I get to say their names every day. Like, oh, let's do that in the Patty bowl. Let's do that in the Fred bowl. You know, it's, you know, if I'm giving a friend to a gift to a friend, it's like, well, of course I'm giving the Fred or Patty bowl, you know. But I do this because I love saying their names and I love bringing them present and I love having them, you know, be a part of my life, even though they're gone. So tell me a little bit about your mom. You know, there's a story that I love, which I'm going to, you know, ask you about. But just tell me about your mom and what she was like and how long she's been gone. And
so my mom was a great cook, which is funny to me because I don't cook at all. I want my kids to eat real food. I procure it. I serve it. But I'm really a very limited cook. And this woman cooked three meals a day for a large family for years and years, decades. And beautiful. We had dessert at lunch and dinner every day, something different. It was just this amazing multitude of recipes that I miss. But what I really miss the most, and food will always be love for me because of her, and that's how she expressed her love. But what I miss the most is just as I get older and my kids get bigger and I realize how right she was about everything, mm-hmm. I can't call her up and tell her that. I can't tell her cashews are not disgusting
right. And
grapefruit is delicious and you were right about this and everything else. But at the same time, in so many ways, she lives on and she lives on in we share this too. She loved cardinals. And so when my kids see a cardinal, they mention her. And they see them in places, you know, kids notice stuff. So they see them in places that you wouldn't expect. And they still think about things she made, her jellies, all of her homemade jellies. And when we were growing up, we always had homemade bread. And I just coveted that white store-bought bread, because we never had it. And looking back as an adult, I see what a gift that was to have this beautifully made bread at home. But at the time, I just didn't appreciate it all. So I still miss her. On my very worst days, I wish I could talk to her. But I'll tell you, my dad has really risen to the occasion. The man had barely cooked, had never used an ATM when she died, and has really created a great life for himself, is very self-sufficient. And I'll call him and I'll say, Dad, I know this sounds really silly, but I'm really upset about it and I just need to say it to someone. And you're the person who's obligated to love me no matter what. So let me say it. And he listens and he says what I need him to say. If I'm worried about something tiny with the kids that I know is not something to worry about, but I just can't let it go, he tries to be that person. And yeah. I really appreciate him for that. So I miss her, but you also find growth in that loss and strengthen other relationships.
I mean, totally. I think some of the things that I learned, first of all, I miss my mom every day. And there's so many things like now that it's like I'm, heading toward the age, I'm within 10 years of how old she was when she died, which is just, whatever, because I feel really young and I didn't necessarily see my mom that way. So it's like, oh, isn't that interesting? So there's so many seasons that I come to that I want to say, well, what did you do about this? Or, for me, the fact that she, and I'm practically going to cry about it, that she never knew Roy, that she, that my great love, that she didn't know. And I think, oh, my God, they would have loved each other so much. Like that, in a way, is one of the hardest things for me. Or that she hasn't seen who Lucy has become, that she knew Lucy when she was like a baby. And they, on a soul level, they get that. But it's like who Lucy has emerged and become, or that Patrick has a career in songwriting, which is, she was a musician. So, but we keep her alive. I mean, one of the things was that the story that I remember about when your mom died, and were you guys from a small town?
We were from a tiny town.
And I remember the story of, because you guys were our neighbors when your mom died, and the story of, like, people came and they stood in line, and it was like a long line.
For hours. Hundreds. Right. And I was from a very small town, and hundreds of people came and stood in line for hours. And it was a real eye-opening moment for me, in part because of all of those people, less than a handful were there to directly support me. And that makes perfect sense because I had spent the decade before that completely focused on my career, which I'm very proud of, and on my new little family. My kids were very, very young when she died. And it really brought to light for me that life is very, very short. Mm-hmm. And that community that came and supported my parents, I'm so grateful for. But I realized I didn't have much community really for those really tough times where you're really, really in the thick of things and things are really hard, where you can be honest about how hard it is. And so one of the things my parents taught me, and Terry, I've seen you do this time and time again over the years too, is if there's a situation in front of you that you're not happy about, don't spend much time wishing that wasn't the situation. Take what's in front of you and make the best of it. And I have seen you do that in spades. My parents always did that. And so I really didn't spend time regretting the choices I had made. I just said, I don't really want it to look like this. So
right.
I made the changes, and it's incredibly awkward to go try to make friends in your late 30s with people who are already busy and probably didn't spend the last decade not making, or, you know, 2 decades not making friends or putting effort into those existing friendships. So I really, after that, I made some changes in my life, and I made some space for things that I had never made space. One is exercise, because for me, there's a really close connection between that and sanity and
yes,
mental health.
Right.
And I didn't know that until that point. And the other is community, mm-hmm. and taking the time to extend the small kindness, taking the time to really create a meaningful friendship. And that's when this collection of women that I mentioned at the beginning, with all the different ages and the commonality of just really not being competitive, but being supportive, being able to be really excited for each other when good things happen and really support each other when not so good things happen or when really terrible things happen.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, thankful that that was the, you know, the way I reacted to that, because it would have been just easy to feel sorry for myself and my kids. I've had this big loss. My kids have lost this person who would have loved them for the whole life. So when you're talking about what, you know, your mom not knowing Lucy and Patrick, they also lost one of those people that was always going to be in their corner.
Totally.
And I hate that for them, but that's, you know, there are other people that will also fill that gap and will always, and I'm one of them. It's been fun to watch your kids find their footing and go do great things and turn into these amazing people. But that for me was really one of the big outcomes of all of those people waiting in line, is it made me make changes in my own life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. We had the same thing for my mom. You know, people came, you know, near and far, long lines of people, you know, and, you know, it's the time that, you know, when people come in, they say this thing. It's like I always say to people, take that in, because you're not really going to have this moment again, you know, taking all of the stories and all of the wonderful things. And what I love about my mom is that, you know, she's gone 20 years, but she's still alive in so many of our hearts. You know, my mom has this group of dear, dear friends. They had a hillbilly band literally for 50 years. Recently, I went to, we still have mother-daughter luncheons. They started when I was 8. And recently I went to sort of a mother-daughter event, and it was for someone's birthday, but they were also like all about celebrating me in this moment. I've got an event coming up. They're coming to it. You know, and it's just like she lives on because we this group was started by her. We all love her. We were all loved by her. And it, you know, and she continues on. I read an article someone sent me the other day, just like a follower sent an article about some women in Deerfield, you know, who had ukuleles and they had this little band and what they were doing. And I, you know, it was a total offshoot of my mom's band that taught at the Patty Turner Center, which is in Deerfield, named in her honor. And it was like this entire thing that's happening that is as a result of my mom's group. And it was just like I read this and it was just like she just lives on in this amazing way, and nothing would make her more delighted. And, you know, from my thinking, I just feel like she is here. She surrounds us, you know, for all of us, you know, who've lost people. That's what I believe. And but I also believe that if you believe things, then they're true.
Agree. I think on both of those counts, I think the world is full of what you look for in it, 100%. And so you can see it there. And what a beautiful thing to see. But the other thing I think out of that I really have spent a lot of time thinking about is just those small interactions. You don't know what a small interaction what kind of impact it might have on someone else. So I think we all really could benefit from being really careful with what we put out there in the world. And
right.
So I think about this offshoot of your mom's band, and I just think you don't know where it ends. And so those tiny little kindnesses, those interactions, I think can really shift the way people think or their experiences. And it just doesn't end with just that person. But I do think you don't know when it's going to end. So you put as much out there that you're proud of as you can, and you make apologies for the stuff that you're not proud of.
And I do think our attitude has everything to do with it. I think it's because I'm a privileged person, it's easy for me to say that. But I also think what we think about, what we put our energy on, what we're saying to ourselves, what we're saying to others, it defines our experience in many ways. So I am a person, you know, and I talked a little about this in an upcoming or in past Friday Favorites, is, you know, this idea. I mean, when I was 20, I read Shakti Gawain's Creative Visualization. It was life-changing for me. It was like, could it be this easy? You know, and I would say it changed the trajectory of my life. My mom was a person, she was interested in personal growth when we were, when we were 20, I was 20. She took me on a Shirley MacLaine workshop, you know, and we just did some interesting, we did a journaling workshop together. We did a class by Sonia Choquette called The Psychic Pathway. So my mom was, you know, she was Catholic and she was traditional, yet she really didn't allow that to define all of who she was. I mean, she was certainly a woman of faith. I think when I was, let's say, I'd gotten divorced, and I think for my mom, and I was young, that it somehow I wouldn't be welcomed back into the church. It really was a defining moment for her where she kind of went another direction. Now, she was always of faith. She loved the Catholic Church and she continued to go. But she also felt like, well, there was more out there in a sense. And she was a searcher. And I loved that, you know, that she brought me on that journey with her, you know, and it informed my life in so many ways because it just opened up my thinking. And I would say, you know, the books that I gravitate to are, you know, The Secret. The author of that book, Rhonda Byrne, has written, you know, a number of other books. But they're all sort of that same thing about what it is we think about, what it is we see, the way it is we look at things. And it's that radio frequency that we turn, you know, tune into. So if what we're tuning into is that we only see disaster, sadness, you know, I'm exhausted, I don't feel well, nothing's going right, you know, it can inform our experience. And if we're like, you know what, this is going on, but we're going to take it and we're going to run with it, you know, people still can find joy in situations that are not joyful. So I feel, you know, just I feel so lucky that she was, you know, she was my mom and all that. What else? Is there anything, like, when you think about what would you want to say to your mom?
I hope she knew how grateful I was. I didn't have the life experience at the time to know all of the things I needed to be grateful about. But when I look at my kids, and I think I know that they appreciate all this that goes into trying to make their life not easy, but good and meaningful. Yeah. And hopefully teach them some of the right things and help them become people who can listen to how they really feel inside about decisions and make good ones. Because I do think fundamentally good choices make us happier than bad choices. And so, you know, I say I wish I could thank her or acknowledge that she was right about a lot of things. I suspect she knew.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of fun for me to work on the book because I was able to weave my mom throughout it. I mean, not only from some of her quotes, like, because I said so, my mother, but because I, you know, sort of laced the book with roosters and, you know, just all kinds of family things, from my grandmother's china to my mother's crystal that, you know, I took when she died to her silver that I have. Those things that are infused with, like, love and magic. And so throughout the book, I think in sort of like 80 different ways and situations, you know, we curated an experience that was really for me and for my children, and that people have seen it and understood it and received some of that. Or once, you know, they've gotten, you know, it's like we have the napkin drawer. And when you open it up in the picture, there is a napkin with an F and a P, which is for my parents. So yeah. It's just like the little touch of, you know, the glasses with the fish on them. That was my dad's fishing group. And, you know, there's that touch there. And it's like my Grandma Casey's, you know, china and all of that. And, you know, saying to the wonderful prop stylist, I was like, you have so many wonderful, fabulous things, but it's also really important to me that we have these items in here, you know.
100%.
You know, and in the beginning of the different chapters, like there's one on family, and we had sort of a different background for each chapter. And the photographer, smartly, Tim Turner, said, let's use your kitchen table. So we literally took that very heavy kitchen table. We brought it to the window. He photographed it, and that became the background for, you know, the family chapter.
Amazing. So. Yes. And I'll say, as a reader, it's one of my favorite things about the book is that it is all so intentional and carefully pulled together and so meaningful to you. And again, it's been so fun to watch your trajectory here and see you grow all of these different things. But it's real. It's who you are. It's the kind of food that you have made for years. And having you put all of these things that are so meaningful into the book make it even that much more fun to be part of and to get to see. So thank you for sharing that part of you with the rest of the world. It's been fun.
So much fun. And what's interesting is you're not on social media at all, right?
I am not, but there are ways that you can get access to the content. Mm-hmm. So I have cheered you from afar. I do have a group of women. I have a very dear friend who wrote a book, and I'm so, so proud of her. Your cookbook, I always collect in those stories. My friend who's doing the karate bid, Christina Kleinpeter, who's been a guest on the podcast. I'm just so proud of you all for really putting yourselves out there, making this dream happen that I just can't stop celebrating and telling everyone about them. And in fact, I did not realize quite how big your social media presence was until I was on my annual shopping trip, which my mom started with my sisters, and I was shamelessly bragging about these women that I'm so proud of and how amazing and happy I am for you. And my sister stopped me and said, wait, are you talking about No Crumbs Left and No Crumbs Left kid is Lucy, who is this person? And she knew you, right, but had never followed you independently, had never made the connection that she had met you. And she's like, I don't think you understand what a big deal all is.
That's so funny.
And so it's been fun. I can see some of it. And I do.
We admire you're not on social media. We're not critical of it. People will do. They're like my nephew or something. Somebody will be like, wait a minute, why is No Crumbs Left following you? And they'll be like, well, that's my aunt. Or there'll be a lot of those sort of things where we'll have funny connections.
That's amazing.
We get a kick out of it. So what I want to just lastly find out is, I know you were with a law firm. I know you've been a partner in a law firm, and I know you're in the middle of a new trajectory. So just tell me about that.
Yeah. So for close to 20 years, I was either working at a law firm, a partner at a law firm, or I left and became general counsel of a great hedge fund here in town. And it was a great gig, and it was really everything that I could want in my career. But I also, again, am very aware that life is short, and my kids are now 12, 10, and 8, and they're spectacular ages. And so I took last summer off as a sabbatical and just really spent time with the kids in a way that I have never had that time. We spent a month in Europe. It's incredibly amazing that we get to do this. And it was really just amazing time and really made our kids even closer together, closer and, emotionally. And it was amazing. And so I went back to work. I was ready to be back. I was so glad for the break. And it really was amazing time with my family. But then I also just kept having this feeling that there maybe was something else out there for me. And if I could do it all again, there are 20 careers I would like to have and explore. And so, as I was mentioning, I've sort of collected these stories of these women who took time off to be with their kids or do other things and developed these second careers that have brought them so much joy and have been so fun to watch. And I thought, if I really admire this, if these are the people I admire, why am I not doing this for myself? Why am I not taking this risk myself? And so I really left an incredible job and a great group of people and said, I'm just going to take the time this summer to really be with the kids. In the fall, I'll think about what's next, if anything, but I'm just going to be here right now. And it's actually been a little uneven because it's hard to leave a career that you're happy with and you've spent a lot of time developing, but the time with the kids has been amazing. And even little things like getting to drive them to school and really be the one having the conversations with them about those important topics. Today, we're recording this on September 11th, and we had this amazing conversation this morning on the way to school about what happened. And, as they get older, you can have a different version of that conversation with them. And we really talked about the firefighters and that they knew that they were in a really high-risk situation, but they were committed to helping people. And at the end of the day, I'm just thankful that I'm the one that gets to have more of those conversations and that I have this space with them to have that. And the rest will sort itself out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to just say, driving kids to school is, to me, that's the magic elixir, is being able to drive your kids. You know, forever Roy's like, why don't you have them take the bus? You know, but I'm like, because for me, that time with my kids in the morning, it was magic. It was just, not to say that you're not having a family fight or someone's not late or this isn't happening or someone forgot their lunch. But when I think of my best times, it's riding in the car with my kids and the hours that I spent. And I drop them off every day and I pick them up every day. And, you know, I had to go back sometimes to pick up another one. But that time where you're just stuck together, and they've had the day and they can download, or you can bring, you know, nothing I liked more than, you know, a delicious snack that I would bring, you know, in a beautiful little snack box with cut up, wonderful, healthy things. They are, for me, when I think about it, it's the most special moments. So, you know.
My time is still, and this sounds crazy, but it still was the middle of the night. Yes. Those really quiet times. You know, when you become a mother, people tell you how tired you're going to be and how relentless it's going to be, and it is, and it's a lot of work. But it's also really, really fun. And at that point, I had spent a good amount of time pulling all-nighters for deals and clients who I cared much – were great, but right. I cared much less about than these tiny
Let's
humans
hope so. Yeah.
who had a really legitimate need. And so when I look back on my parenting, I really mourned those times that they didn't get up in the middle of the night and need to be fed and put back to sleep. And I can still conjure up how that felt. And even at the time, it was, sure, I was exhausted, but it was enjoyable. And I think we all get to enjoy and dislike different things, right?
Yeah.
it's all fair game. But that will be the you know, one for me that I look back on and I already miss.
Absolutely. Sweet times. Well, thank you so much for coming today. This is such a, it's so nice. And it's fun to just catch up right here, having tens of thousands of people following along with us. Where do people find you? On, what's it called?
I'm on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, right.
I am not on any other social media. Again,
okay.
Just because I think you make time for what are the priorities in your life. And for
Absolutely.
Me, at this point,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's got to be what's right in front of me.
Yeah, I can tell you. You can get lost in Instagram. That I can tell you for sure. So is it Bobbi Anderson? Like,
yes, it's okay. Yes.
Okay. And how do you spell it?
Bobbi.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson, the O-N.
Okay. What a pleasure. Thank you so much. I know you were a little bit nervous, but I think we did really well.
So fun.
Yeah.
So fun to see you. Thanks for having me on.
The best. Thanks for being an inspiration. You guys come find me at No Crumbs Left on Instagram, Facebook, or the blog Let's Go.